What about the light?
Well, that actually is the good news. By possessing a human eye, it's confined to the limitations of an eye. Now, as we all know, looking into bright lights is painful, but it's exactly the same thing for it. And looking into bright lights, or rather the heat generated by bright lights, it can dry an eye out. Now, an eye needs to be moist in order to function. And it gets its energy from living brain cells. So what I'm thinking is, prolonged periods without active brain matter to nourish it, coupled with bright lights and heat, it could just...
It could kill it.
Possibly, yes.
Oh, hell, it's been floating around here and fucking for hours. It's gotta be getting tired.
Now it's garbage.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our show. We are Just Another Movie Night. And I am Scott, and with me is a traveler from the eighth dimension, Joe.
Wait, are you sure it's the eighth dimension and not like the fourth or the seventh?
I mean, it could be the fifth. We don't know. Hey, you know what today is, Joe?
Talking trash.
Talking trash, indeed.
Our
show to review, spoil, crap on, debate, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, and often forgotten flicks on the internet. All while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review film unless you know what the worst is. It's July. And we are watching a new theme of movies suggested by our friend and listener, Beck, over on Instagram at This Girl Loves Horror and her movie podcast called The Girl and the Gay Podcast. And she has chosen Killer Body Parts as our theme. So tonight we are watching a movie with the tagline that states simply, Terror Vision. We are talking about 1999's The Killer Eye. It has a 2.9 on IMDb from 1,400 reviewers. Okay, so now I got some information here for us, Joe.
Wait, how many reviewers?
1,400. 1,402 tonight.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, so I got here some information on this director. So, I don't know how much of this you want me to read, but I just thought it was really fun and I could not stop taking these notes. It was directed by David Dakotu under one of his pseudonyms. He has 183 directing credits, including Puppet Master 3, Curse of the Puppet Master, and Retro Puppet Master, Puppet Master Axis of Evil, and Flesh Tones, Making It Huge, Never Big Enough, Man Heat, Manogram, Young Blood, and Fresh Meat. I think those movies kind of give us an inside information of what we watch tonight. But I also found it funny that he has some of the weirdest titled films I've ever heard in my life. Now, I don't know which one of these two I can read to you of these movies that he has done with similar titles. But first up, he has a series of movies called 1313. I don't know what these are. 1313, Nightmare Mansion. 1313, Wicked Stepbrother. 1313, Actor / Model. 1313, Boy Crazies. 1313, Giant Killer Bees. 1313, Haunted Frat. 1313, Bigfoot Island. 1313, Cougar Cult. 1313, Bermuda Triangle. 1313, Billy the Kid. 1313, Hercules Unbound. 1313, Night of the Widow. 1313, Frankenqueen. And 1313, UFO Invasion.
Okay, what I'm going to speculate of these 1313 movies is that they have to be some sort of, like, shorts.
They're not. They're full movies. And now, round two, Joe. Round two. Okay? He also has a movie series. It's not a movie series. These are movies with these titles. Are you ready?
I can't imagine.
The Wrong Roommate, The Wrong Child, the wrong student, the wrong crush, the wrong man, the wrong cruise, the wrong friend, the wrong teacher, the wrong stepmother, the wrong boy next door, the wrong mommy, the wrong tutor, the wrong cheerleader, the wrong house sitter, the wrong wedding planner, the wrong stepfather, the wrong cheerleading coach, the wrong real estate agent, the wrong fiance, the wrong Mr. Right, the wrong Prince Charming, the wrong Valentine, the wrong cheer captain, the wrong blind date, the wrong high school sweetheart, the wrong life coach, the wrong obsession. Now, these all star Vivica A. Fox.
What? All of them?
But she's never the same character.
You just had the wrong high school sweetheart, girl. Looks like you picked the wrong Mr. Right. You still have terrible luck with men. Because you picked the wrong fiance. He was the wrong stepfather. Emily? It looks like you picked the wrong Valentine. Well, one thing's for certain. She definitely picked the wrong cheer captain.
Sounds like to me, you hired the wrong life coach.
Looks like you hired the wrong wedding planner. Looks like I hired the wrong cheerleader coach. Well, I've got news for you. You're the wrong stepmother. Katie, he was the wrong boy next door.
Wait, she's in all of them?
All of them.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I'm sorry, I had to read these to you because I was like, what are these movies?
Are these movies all an hour long?
I don't think so. I think they're real movies, but I'm guessing they're some kind of straight-to-video or streaming movies. Or
of course they're straight-to-video.
I was thinking, are they Hallmark movies?
Hallmark?
I mean,
it sounds like a after-school special, but what?
You would think that Vivica A. Fox was playing some kind of detective in every one of these movies.
Like Foxy Brown?
But I thought so. I thought I was like, okay, she must be a cop.
Foxy Brown wasn't a detective, was she?
I don't know. She was a kick-ass woman. That's all I know. Here's the deal. I thought that she was like an FBI agent or like some kind of detective. And in every movie, bless you. I feel the same way about this movie. But I thought maybe she was like a detective in every movie and she was solving a crime that had to do with the wrong something or other. Like, I thought it was going to be called the wrong franchise, but it's not. Some of the movies, she's just like the teacher.
Okay.
Or the dentist or the lawyer.
She's in all of those. What did you name off? Like 13 of them?
There's so many of them. I cannot believe it.
Here's the thing. Did these movies take place in the 2000s or the 90s?
2000s.
Okay, because she was having like a career slump back then.
Back then. This director, let's just remember what he was doing in the 90s. The Killer Eye. And by the way, he always changes his name for depending on what he feels like filming. So under those movies, he actually uses his real name. But in other porno type movies, like what did I read over here? Manogram and Manheat and Not Big Enough. Those movies, he has another pseudonym. So in this movie, he also hides his name.
So what's his real name? David Dakota?
That's his real name.
His real name.
Yes.
Because that seems like a silly kind of stage name if you're going to pick a stage name.
He does have a bunch of fake names.
Maybe his name for those other movies should be like, I don't know, something like Frank Schlong or something.
I know. What did he use in this one? He used a fake name. So.
No, I thought he was his.
No, when you watch the movie, it's actually under another name.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, he uses a fake name in every movie he does.
Oh, my God. Well, this movie that we're watching is, you said, from 1999?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was Richard Chasen in this.
Oh, my God. So when was his last feature film?
You want to know when his last movie was filmed? His
most recent feature film.
I'm sure it starred Vivica A. Fox.
Get Out.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Yes, The Wrong Marriage.
That was the last one? And what year was that?
This year.
Stop.
And The Wrong Obsession. This year.
Stop it. I feel like we need to watch one of those. Do we have to watch them in order or they're not connected?
Vivica A. Fox just plays Kim.
Okay, you're supposed to do your research and tell me the whole plot of all these movies.
Could you imagine if I wrote every one of them?
I want them written down in order and plots.
I'm looking up The Wrong Marriage right now to see how long the movie is.
It's got
to
be an hour. They're hour-long movies. Just like this.
It does say TV movie.
See? No one saw that.
I don't even see the runtime.
Unless it's on one of those, like, what do you call that?
20 people saw that movie.
Oh, God. Not Lifetime movies, but like one of those like Oxygen movies. Is oxygen still a network?
Wrong. So wrong. Tonight, 7 wrong movies, including the premieres of The Wrong Cruise and The Wrong Friend.
Uh-oh.
All featuring Vivica A. Fox, right?
Right.
The So Wrong, It's Right Marathon, this Thursday and Friday, only on Lifetime Movies.
Oh my god, I just found this one on Tubi that he directed called Fatal Fixer Upper.
Oh my god. This fucking guy, okay, he's a terrible director, I'm sorry. Okay, this movie was 1 hour long, this movie. And I feel like he just got his friends together and was like, hey, fuck it, let's just do something fun. Because nowhere on God's green earth would anyone make an hour-long movie with a giant rapey eyeball from the eighth dimension, a character that talks like he's channeling Beetlejuice, he contributes absolutely nothing to the film, several five-minute long scenes of eyeball tentacle rape. Okay.
Yeah, I have all this written. I actually wrote notes.
2 drugged up mimbos and 7 characters who literally have the combined IQ of a frozen tater tot. There's...
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody with a brain in this film.
I mean, and also don't forget the director and the, obviously, the eyeball operator who's fucking terrible because you can see the freaking harness and whatever thing he's using for this thing. I am baffled by this whole thing, and I'm shocked that this is a full moon feature.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, you shouldn't be shocked.
No, I'm shocked because
full moon hasn't made a good movie since the early 90s.
Well, true, but I will say,
and that's giving them too much credit,
that this eye, even though it was ridiculous and cartoony and silly, it still looked better than the Evil Bong. It did, in my opinion. Evil Bong. Those things, those animatronics or whatever, were just garbage.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, I guess we'll wait and get to it, but or should I just say it now? I liked Evil Bong better.
You disgusting pervert! Oh, I only hope that one day convicts will feast upon your scrotum sack.
You know, bro, I was just kidding around. You don't gotta come at me like that, Grandpa.
Is your mind perpetually in the gutter, you useless, vulgar douchebag?
I could sit and watch Evil Bong.
Exactly.
I mean, on a loop for 2 days straight.
I got something.
Then watch this thing.
I have something that might blow your mind here. This movie was written by 3 people. Three. One of which is Neil Marshall Stevens, who is responsible for the Full Moon Turds, Head of the Family, Puppet Master Axis Termination, Retro Puppet Master, Curse of the Puppet Master, Blade of the Iron Cross, Hideous, and other studio films like Hellraiser Deader and the 13 Ghosts remake.
What?
This guy wrote the 13 Ghosts remake.
Okay, well, we hated that movie anyway.
Well, I know a lot of people do love it. It's probably mostly because of Matthew Lillard and some
cool
ghosts.
I don't hate it because of... I do love him. I don't
He's so
hate it.
Over the top in the movie,
he's
though.
He's always even over he the knows top. He is. He's even over the top in Scream. He doesn't make apologies for it, and that's why I really love him. But
yeah.
I will say that I'm baffled that it took 3 people to write this trash. It's only an hour long.
I wonder what that means. Like, I was trying to look it up. Who wrote what?
When I'm
like, was
say,
there different scripts? I don't know.
No, there's no script. What they did is they smoked a lot of weed, and they got together in a room and ate some snacks and were high as a kite and came up with this concept. And then they just kept throwing ideas into the freaking...
There is no movie
middle
here.
Of the table.
Like... oh my god, let's try to get into it, but one more thing to say before we even start talking about this movie, in quotations, it stars
Jacqueline Lavelle
as Rita. Okay, she is usually my favorite character in Full Moon movies, like turds like Hideous and the Head of the Family movies. She plays the badass in all those movies, and she usually doesn't like to wear clothes because in real life she's a nudist. But it's funny because when they wrote the script and they brought it to her, it called for her to have sex constantly and be naked all the time in this movie. And she said to them, I don't want to do it. So they had to change it and do none of it. But then she followed this film with movies called The Key to Sex. And I shit you not, Joe, Women of the Night.
Shut up. I kept referring to her as, what did I say? A slutty something or other. She's
going through the 90s eyebrow crisis that you were talking about, by the way.
Yes, she definitely is. But she's also going through some other kind of crisis in 1999. Because this movie, her acting was, it was just awful.
Oh, yeah? You better tell your new buddy the eyeball hair is going to be awfully hard for him to take over the world with one of my 3-inch spike heels sticking out of his yucky fucking face.
It was awful.
Yeah, she has amazing lines of dialogue like...
What else do I want? How about sex?
You had sex last Thursday.
Jordan, I told him we got married. I need attention.
Or...
Does somebody have something to say? Somebody who, I don't know, might have been doing some eye experiments?
The dialogue is so bad.
Oh my god. I just wrote some lines of dialogue and I'm just laughing at myself writing them. Oh my god.
Well, the one girl that's in this movie, I've never seen any of these people in my life. But she plays Jane in this. She's naked, full frontal. I mean, you could see everything.
Yeah, so this is the other woman in this film, and I have to say I have information about all these people, but I mean, well, not really, because there's not much information out there.
They don't even have pictures on IMDb.
She has a 2-minute treadmill scene in this movie where and a slow mode walk into a shower while she also gets well, I'm just gonna say,
are
this.
You gonna say why she while she also gets eyeballed? Is that what you were gonna say?
I didn't. I actually wrote down optic nerve finger blasting.
Jesus Christ. I have no words.
I wanted
for
to talk in
this.
Order about this and talk about it, but yeah, this woman never worked again.
Let me tell you, remember I made mention to you, this woman, I kind of felt like bad for her.
Oh, yeah,
a little
yeah,
bit.
Big time.
Because she probably didn't realize right off the bat what she was getting into.
Yeah.
And then when she did, she's like, fuck this biz. I don't want to be on this.
When you look her up, it actually says, known for The Killer Eye and The Killer Eye Featurette.
Oh, my God, what?
Yeah, isn't that sad?
Oh, Lord.
And to even do, I can see why you would never work again after this movie.
I would go into hiding if I was a part of this.
Okay, so let's talk about this movie, okay? My God. This movie starts off, it's one of those movies that starts off with a title sequence that goes on for too long and tells you, it's like the end credits in the beginning. That's pretty much how you know you're in for a shitty movie. The only time that ever worked was in the old movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the original 50s, the 40s, where the movie started with the credits at the end and they would just say the end at the end of the movie. Now, you can't do that. Nobody wants to sit in the theater and see a title crawl in the beginning of a film. You kind of want to, give me something and then give me a title crawl. It doesn't work. Maybe Seven, you know, movies like that. But this movie starts with this, and the font is so awful.
It made my eyes go on my phone. Yeah, it made my eyes go a little nutty. But yeah, I feel like these kind of things, those like the title crawl and the long, long, long openings, which a lot of these full moon movies have, the long openings. It's one of my pet peeves.
Yeah, especially since nobody wants to read these fucking names. People came here for a softcore porn horror film, which is what this movie is, and it's not good on any of that, but nobody wants to go, oh my God, title movie, I don't care about this, I'm going forward. No one cares.
At one point, I was going to be like, yeah, you want to forward through the opening credits, but then... If we did, we would shave off 15 minutes of the movie.
Yes, because what we found out at the end of this movie was, because they have another title, like an end credits.
Oh, God.
That is freeze framing of the actors and their names. Like, anybody cares.
Didn't it remind you of, like, Three's Company at the end?
Someone could put the music to it.
Yeah, like, yeah. You have to, like, literally put the music Three's Company at the end because it goes well.
I've never understood horror movies that had people do that. You really don't care about your film if you do that at the end of your movie.
No.
And when we paused it before we let the titles go, we saw that it was only an hour, the movie. So we were like, wait a minute. And if you break it down, it's literally multiple 5-minute finger rubbing, like, imagine a woman rubbing a sausage on her nipple for 5 minutes straight. That there's five of those. So, yeah.
I mean, I've never, like, I was just saying, like, when I was talking about this actress, and I do feel bad saying this, but I can't help it. I'm just going to be honest. The one actress that never worked again after this in film, I said, wow, like, well, this is such a shining moment for her. Oh, I mean, to have to be completely full frontal naked with a
multiple times
sausage like running up and down your boobs and in your peach.
Almost. It never went that far, it was almost there. Yeah. It was always trying to rub into the, it was trying to figure out a way to get into the underwear, but it could never do it.
I know, but the scene in the shower where it was like molesting her and then you could, it went down there and you could see all of her bits, like every flap and everything. And I feel like
we're giving away the whole thing. We should like talk about what we're even talking about.
Oh my God. All right. The plot of this movie, I'll tell you what the plot of this movie is.
Because we have to talk about the things that are terrible about it in order. Like, I mean, we have to discuss
There's just so much terrible.
Yeah, but after this title crawl starts, we have a male prostitute that looks like Justin Bieber shows up.
Looks like Ryan Phillippe.
Wow, that's interesting. He's like 5 years old. I mean, like he looks like the young Justin Bieber. He's even dressed in a wife beater and his underwear are exposed.
It's
and he has
a 90s, handkerchief
out like, of his back pocket.
You know what? He could look like Eminem. That whole entire look that.
I said handkerchief. Like it's not a bandana. It's a handkerchief. I said.
Oh my God! You just aged yourself.
I mean, did I? Everything I say is an aged myself thing. But I will say that he shows up and I guess he just walks into the set, which we should talk about the set because this is what we were staring at the most during the movie. And we were discussing while we watched it, which we normally try not to do. But this time we couldn't help but point out the flaws. So what's going on in this set, we could only describe is that they had some kind of loft that was a giant loft. Or it's some kind of set, but I can't imagine anybody built stairs for this movie.
Okay, everything is made of paper mache.
No, there's no way.
Plywood. The stairs are real.
There's definite concrete on the floor, which makes me think this is some kind of...
No, it could be a rented out warehouse, okay? And then they built that shit in there.
They could not. They didn't. There's no way they spent money on building things.
Maybe the apartment scene was an actual apartment, but the rest of that crap, there was like almost like that construction.
I think it's a giant loft somewhere.
I don't think so.
Something I guess we should point out is the laboratory in this movie is in some kind of brick room. Now, what we couldn't unsee is that there's a plastic sheet in a half moon structure against a wall. The whole wall is a giant half moon that's sheeted off. So we know that's either a window or in the next scene in another apartment, or where it's supposed to be another apartment down the hall, they keep saying, although there's two stories. So it's not really down the hall. I don't really understand how that's working out. When they go over there, the bed is against another half moon sheeted off thing. So I kept saying, I think this is facing the laboratory room and they're blocking it off. But now I'm starting to think it's a window and they didn't want us to know where they were.
Now, I'm going to 100% disagree with you. I'm going to say that there probably were steps there, but they made it look like, so like it could be like an industrial warehouse that they rented out that actually had a room at the top that was like an office or something.
Absolutely,
that made
but
it
not
look
wood
like
stairs.
Why not?
They didn't build that.
If it was a warehouse, it would be
a metal staircase.
Well, what if it was already there? I'm just saying, this set is
This is all we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about sets.
I mean, literally, this set is bubblegum. There's nothing holding this shit together.
This is definitely a place. And the only reason I say that is because there's weird things in the room that they didn't remove, but they had to cover up. And I couldn't stop looking at them. So one of the things is in that second bedroom apartment, apparently, where the bed is against the wall. In the background, there is a makeup table that's against the wall where it has the you've seen in every movie where there's like a famous person looking at into a mirror at themselves and putting makeup on. It has those light bulbs around it.
Yeah, it's a vanity.
It's a giant vanity against the wall. Now, it's in the wall. They couldn't remove it. And the reason I know that is they realized that the camera would be in the mirror too much, so they just put pictures all over it. But they left the light bulbs and everything on.
Hmm.
So they're using it to light the section of this movie, but they didn't remove it, which makes me think they couldn't. So this was definitely used for something.
I don't know. I mean, making valid points. However,
there's a lot of stuff going on in the back. I can't stop looking at them. Like, where are we? They keep showing an outside on the street, like archive footage of a building, which looks like the building from Chucky in the first Chucky movie where the girl falls out the window.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. She gets pushed out the window.
Look, I'm on Chucky's side here. Mm. She fell.
It's funny. Every time we talk about Chucky, I look up at him.
You know what I'm talking about, though? It does look like archive footage of the front of that building.
It does, yeah.
But every time they do it, they purposely are showing like two of the windows are turned, the lights are turned on, and we're supposed to think this is where the movie's taking place.
Yeah.
Now, here's something I don't even think you thought about, but I'm going to point this out because I couldn't unsee it during the movie. There is a thunderstorm going on and it does not stop. And all I kept thinking was Poltergeist, when they say you can count the flash and you can count the thunder comes. That's how far away the storm is.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the scary part is the thunder happens like instantly. And so the storm is on top of the house. So in this movie, there is never ending lightning and thunder. Every time they show the outside of that apartment building, there's nothing.
I didn't even notice that.
Every single scene has a thunder blast and lightning flashing, but there are no windows in the entire movie.
That's hysterical that you noticed that, because I was busy looking at these actors and what was going on.
Oh, I did not want to look at them.
I mean,
I was appalled.
It was next level, but all right, let's talk really quick about what's going on in this plot, because we need we need to talk about this plot. No, the plot is very bare bones.
We have a scientist who the actor we couldn't figure out if he has this real voice, but I've only seen that he's in two other movies and I couldn't find any information about this actor.
So he's supposed to be British in the movie,
apparently,
and he's playing Dr. Jordan Grady. And
sure.
He hires a little like street urchin.
He's a prostitute. He says, "You can pay me. I can have sex with you. It's the same price."
He offers the sex, but yeah. He hires him to participate in an experiment where he puts like special eye drops in his eye to allow him to see into the eighth dimension.
So this movie, it poses that this guy has made drops and a telescope that could see into the eighth dimension, that it does something to your eyes. But when he puts these drops in this guy's eyes, his wife walks in the room and distracts them all.
Yeah, so this
and they
is
have a fight.
Yeah, they have a fight because he's not pleasuring her the way she wants to be pleasured. And
he says, "We had sex last week."
And this is a really good time to talk about this, you know, when you're conducting an experiment on a kid.
Oh, okay. There's so much, because apparently she's funding him so he can get a grant for his experiments, but he has to produce them first, so she's funding them. They got married, and I kept going, "Where's her money coming from?"
Yeah.
Because she not only owns this giant loft building area, they also are paying for a couple to stay next door who is working for him.
Okay, yes, because the guy that's next door, his name is Morton. He and his wife are staying there, I guess, because he's helping with the experiments. However, I don't know how he's helping with the experiments.
He's like Igor. Igor.
Igor. I see what you did.
So, yeah, he's that guy. And he brought his girlfriend with them.
No, they're married. They
are married now. That's
yeah,
right.
They're married.
I thought that movie was a fiance.
So what happens is, he's trying to conduct this experiment, and the kid puts the eye drops in the kid's eye. Is it one eye or both? Because it seems like
he seems like he puts it in one.
Okay.
And then maybe it's both.
It looked like both, but
he while they're fighting, he starts, it starts like irritating him, but he ends up looking into this telescope that were never explained. Is the experiment the eyedrop, or is the experiment the telescope?
Well, here's the thing. He's supposed to have the eyedrops so that when he looks into the telescope, his eye will see into the eighth dimension.
But why does it need a telescope?
This is the this is the plot of this movie.
It's not a telescope, by the way. It's more like what's that called?
What do you call it? A microscope.
Oh, thank you.
It's a microscope, but it's
he does look into it.
It looks like a telescope. It looks like one of those huge telescopes at the planetarium.
Yeah.
Planetarium.
It actually looks like a harpoon gun.
Yeah.
It looks like he's looking into a harpoon gun. And when he looks into this thing, I guess they're trying to tell us that he is infected by something from the eighth dimension. Because there's a line of dialogue in here that says, oh my God, let me look at this. You're saying that kid poked a hole to the eighth dimension with his eye? That's actual quote. He does, because what we get to see in a shadow is a giant eyeball. His eyeball in the shadow is bursting out of his head when he is making orgasm sound effects. And when we see the eyeball that has come out of him, it is the size of a good thing for the size here? Because it's like a giant balloon.
It's a huge balloon.
Like
coming
a birthday
out,
balloon?
Like a big, one of those huge ass, like birthday balloons that you get at like Party City.
And it has a giant optic nerve hanging from it, and it floats.
And it literally, does it float or walk? Because it has like those
eye tentacle things. That's the optic nerve I'm talking about.
Yeah, the optic nerve. And then it literally, it's like 7 feet tall, this thing.
It's huge. And this came out of this kid's head. And when they show this kid's dead body, it's only like a little red spot on his eye.
Yeah, like he's missing the eye. It came out.
A giant eye just came out of his entire corpse, and it didn't burst his head open?
No, it didn't burst his head open at all.
Just a little wound?
So I was like, oh, he's fine.
But I guess we should also explain this, that the pupil of the eye is obviously green screened in, and what they green screened in is some kind of like electricity. Green electricity.
Yeah, you know what I was going to ask you about this special
effect? It's floating all over the place, by the way.
In the quotes, air quotes, special effect.
This is the special
effect. Is that, was this a TV screen eyeball that had
the... No, because it's got to be green screened in, because every time it moves around, and I guess it's not green screen, but maybe in camera, like they did it somehow, because every time the eyeball moves, it never matches up. The lightning keeps shifting side to side.
Yeah, so it's like green lightning, like zapping all over this eyeball. So it's definitely, they want you to know it's from another dimension, because you know, another dimension, there's like green lightning,
not
zapping.
The flying eyeball.
Yeah,
it's also, at certain times, you pointed out that it has some kind of static pink like electricity going throughout it. But that never means anything.
It
you pointed it out to
it
me.
It doesn't. I mean, it was only a nipple simulator or stimulator.
Did they show it during that too? The electricity?
Yeah.
Oh,
I was looking. I was really looking, because the only thing we had going for us in this movie was some boobs. And they weren't even nice enough to, you know,
like
save the movie.
That's, I know.
Like an evil bonk. We had some nice honkers.
This guy seems more hung up with the male body than the female body.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here, man.
Let's just point this out. One of my favorite parts, we could not figure out what was happening here. But and I'm sure everybody listening can figure out what the hell we're talking about either.
No, it's just a hot mess.
This guy, when the husband and wife are fighting, the wife is like, we have to have sex. And he's like, why don't you go down the hall to our neighbors? That always seems to make you happy, right? So then she goes next door. And it turns out there's two guys living together,
okay,
and they live in the same bed.
They're two, like, mimbo guys.
Always
they don't wear shirts.
Or pants.
They don't wear pants. They just walk
underwear.
Around in their, like, tighties.
Yeah.
Their names are Tom and Bob? No. Tom and Joe.
It's important to point out that their character arc is that they have an entire, like, tray where you would put candy on, but they have put numerous comical sized drugs, and one of them takes one, and then within 1 second the other guy says, are you feeling it? And he's like, I think so, man.
It was amazing. It was literally a plate, like a dinner plate, full of different kinds of drugs.
Shit looked like Flintstone vitamins.
Yes, it looked like Flintstone vitamins. It was very comical. However, so what we need to know about Tom and Joe, is that Tom and Joe, right?
Who cares?
Whatever, Mimbos.
Mimbo 1 and Mimbo 2.
These two guys are living together. They have one bed, and they are both doing the doctor's wife, who doesn't seem to have an orgasm ever.
Sometimes, I know, that's exactly right. I was thinking about that, too.
So her name is Rita, and she goes down to the neighbor's house, which is Tom and Joe, like she's told to by her husband, which is hysterical. Like, why? Like, you're my husband. Would you tell me to go down to the next door neighbor's house and...
And he always says,
hang out with some,
and you always
dude.
Come home happy.
Like, yeah, because she's getting done.
But not good enough, apparently. But yeah, I mean, these two guys are in good shape, but that's what happens here. They have a sex scene? Now we timed this because we couldn't believe it. How long was it? I can't remember now. How long was this first sex
scene? Okay, so the first sex scene was 3.5 minutes long. And what this sex scene is, she's going here to get banged by these two guys because her husband's just not doing it. So she's laying on the bed with her bra and underwear on. And for 3.5 solid minutes, we see one of the Mimbos just kissing in between her boobs.
It's 3.5 minutes.
Three and a half
kissing
minutes.
Kissing her back and her chest.
Kissing her back and her chest. They are
but not
never,
exposed.
They're never exposed. It's the most ridiculous scene I've ever seen. Because the funny thing about this here is that the other Mimbo is sitting in a chair in front of them watching this go on.
We were scared that he was jerking off.
And we were scared that he was masturbating. However, when they showed him, he was just touching all over his chest and stomach. Like,
yeah,
that
a lot
was
of
something
chest
that's
rubbing.
Getting him excited. I have no idea what's going on here.
I have to point this out, but after 3.5 minutes, the guy goes, I'm spent. And I'm like, you just kissed her back for 3.5 minutes.
There's nothing happened. Okay. Nothing. Yeah. He just passes out on the bed from the kissing. I'm like,
yeah.
Wow. And she thinks her husband can't do it.
No wonder she's never satisfied.
Damn.
By the way, now they cut to the other neighbor.
So the other neighbor, her name is Jane. She's married to the assistant scientist, and his name is Morton. And she's, I don't know, treadmilling?
No. They're actually getting dressed to go out, and she's putting on like a wedding dress.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I forgot about this. So she has on this white gown. It looks like they're getting married. He's in a suit, and they're about to go out for the evening, but the scientist guy runs up and says...
Yeah, but before he comes in, she goes, they're at it again. And we're like...
What?
And then
are we supposed to be hearing the sex?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering too, because we don't hear anything but except the lightning and the thunder. That's all we see. The husband comes in the room putting his tie on. He goes, luckily we won't have to hear it.
They're at it again.
Yeah, but tonight we don't have to hear it.
So I'm like, wait, she just said they're at it again, which means she can hear it. And then he's coming in the room saying we don't have to hear it. I'm like, what is happening
in this
movie?
Yes, but it couldn't be sex. It couldn't be sex that she's hearing, because he literally said, I'm spent, after kissing her for 3.5 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah, and they couldn't hear that.
There wasn't any penetration.
They're literally on a different level.
Right.
So it made me think, are they talking about hearing the husband and wife fight? Because that wasn't that loud either.
No, but that scene wasn't even happening at that moment.
Yeah, and so I guess the husband and wife, the whole thing here is that, I know, that's true, how it's edited. But the thing is that the husband and wife, I guess he never gets to take his wife out because he has to go work for this guy all the time. He's very demanding, doing the science shit. So he does come in the room and stop him from going out.
First of all, let me just say something. This guy literally just walks into their apartment. Like, walks in. They could be naked.
And he asks, have you seen my wife? You just told her to go down the hall.
Yeah, your wife is underneath one of the dudes.
Yeah, how do you not know? You just sent them to another apartment.
Yeah, this is next level. It's just so bad. And then so he tells the guy, Morton, hey, I need you. I know you're going out, but I need you right now. I need your help because there's a fucking dead body in his goddamn lab.
He tricks this guy into moving a dead body with him. by saying that it was a cadaver that he got.
A cadaver?
And then he dressed
with a wife beater on?
He said, I dressed it so it didn't look so, it didn't scare the wife. It's still a dead body.
It's a dead body.
I don't think dressing it up would make any sense. He helps him move it.
Yeah, and he's like, why is he missing an eye? Oh, it might have dissolved because I put drops in it.
No.
Doesn't he say that?
No, at first he says, this is even funny, he goes, oh, I guess he died by one of those gang shootings in the eye or something.
That's right. And he made up some story about him dying.
The guy's like, it kind of looks like the eyeball was pushed out.
Yeah.
How do I know what happened to his eye? The guy came like that, didn't he? Probably lost it in a knife fight with Boxcar Bob over a pack of cheap smokes or whatever these street kids do nowadays.
So let's move the body. And we thought they brought it to the basement, but they bring it to an attic. And now here's the craziest moment. Shockingly, the craziest moment ever. There's a man living on the floor in the attic. And I guess he's either Beetlejuice or he is Brad Pitt in 12 Monkeys. I don't know what this actor's doing.
I mean, I don't know what the motivation was. I don't know what the director was telling this actor. But holy shit, he literally even tried to be the, like Beetlejuice's demeanor and his, like, quirkiness. He tried all of that. None of it hit. None of it landed. Yeah. He looked ridiculous. Now, we don't even know who this guy even is, this character.
He's another neighbor, apparently. He's like, how you doing, Doc?
That's exactly how he sounds.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Phil.
Oh, did I scare you?
Yeah, you did scare me. You know, it's funny how when you just walk up to an attic, you don't sort of expect to find someone there waiting for you.
Oh, geez, I'm real sorry about that one, Doc. Just up here in my thinking place, I hear voices. Here I come. What were you thinking about?
Please, don't ask him.
About death and life and elective brain surgery and how maybe, just maybe, they all kind of fit together like a big jigsaw puzzle. Hey, not the religious type, just makes you think.
Bill, that's a doozy. But if you don't mind, Morton and I were just up here delivering the crate, so if you'll excuse us, please.
Okay? Oh, hey, Doc! Let me give you just a little something to chew on that, huh? Get rid of it! Throw the whole shebang in the trash, let municipal waste take care of it. Life's too short, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know what, Bill? Is there not a wall you could be staring at?
Sure.
Yeah, we better be getting back to the lab.
See you around, fellas.
Like Beetlejuice. And
well,
I'm like,
in a body, Doc.
I mean, he literally enters this whole scenario. There's no rhyme or reason. He does nothing to contribute to any of this movie at all whatsoever.
When they're hiding the body, the guy says, the new test subject, I think the drops worked. And he's like, that's great. Where is he? And he's like, he looks down at the corpse. The other guy goes, what? I'm helping you hide a corpse. He's like, shut up, I'm paying you for this shit, basically.
No, yeah, everybody's fine with the situation. Everybody is so fine
with
this situation. It is next level shocking. I don't know about you, okay? But if I was in bed with two dudes naked and I felt something on my body and it felt like a huge earthworm.
Oh, you're talking about the sexy now?
Yeah, I just need to talk about this. I would open my eyes. This bitch doesn't even open her eyes once to see what is on her.
Yeah, because after the kissing happened for 3.5 minutes, they all fell asleep.
Yeah, something must have gotten done because she was completely naked.
Yeah, now she's suddenly naked, and I'm guessing this was a cut sequence, but I don't think so. They're just all sleeping. She's in the middle. And the giant eyeball, and by the way, this is one of those movies that has giant air vents.
Of course it does.
This is a definite, I think this should be its own subgenre of horror films. After watching that movie we watched where the guy was crawling around in the vents, I'm like, this is just the thing now, isn't it? Every movie we watch is going to have a giant air vent where people can crawl around.
It's just astounding seeing as how this eyeball is at least 7 feet tall.
And it can open and close air vents.
Well, it has tentacles.
Apparently its optic nerve is like... finger too. I don't know what's happening.
it's optic nerve.
Yeah.
There's several of them.
Well, it's a whole dangling nerve system.
It's an optic nerve. It's a freaking tentacle.
I mean, it's a tentacle. That's what it looks like, but it's supposed to be the nerve endings.
Oh my God.
So look, this thing is flying around. It goes and it does what we couldn't believe this movie was doing. It goes under the sheets and it nerve blasts her. Like, and let's say it, like, it goes to town on her, but the tentacle, the little sausage flies all the way up to the face, and it's rubbing. She's sleeping. She's holding, rubbing, and having it touch her face.
Now, this is literally like a huge earthworm. That's the only way I can describe it. Now, she's got Tweedledum and Tweedledummer sleeping next to her. We know that they don't have body parts that would resemble this. Okay, even if it's a penis, why would they be putting their penis all over her chest after they had sex?
And that's also, number one. It's not slimy and flippy.
And it's not slimy. It's not. I mean, there are some skinny penises.
It could be limp. I don't know, but I don't know what she's thinking. But I think she's still sleeping during the sequence. This is her.
That's impossible. She's literally getting impaled in her lady bits, and she's just
twiddling.
I don't have any words for this. This scene goes on for 5 minutes. It goes on for 4 minutes, 42 seconds.
One of my favorite things I pointed out to you is that it's clearly they probably had to paint it again real quick because maybe the paint was rubbing off every time they somehow bent and used the tentacle because it's leaving marks on her body. We can see that there's like paint marks all over her.
Yeah, it's
I could not stop pointing them out to you. I was like, it's either that or they cover up her tattoos, but she doesn't have tattoos.
No, like literally, so this is the shit that it's like next level shitty filmmaking. When you spend less time on the star of the movie's, like, you know, paint job and appearance, and you spend more time on a rapey scene for no reason.
Well, that's the whole movie, right? So, I mean, that's it. That's the whole movie. This giant it paper mache eyeball. I guess we should say this. The one guy wakes up, and this is the first time we get to see it use its power, where it shoots a little lightning blast into the guy's eyes, and it just makes him fall asleep.
Yeah, so here's the power of the eyeball I don't get, okay?
Wait, none of it makes sense.
This is supposed to be the killer eye.
Yeah.
Okay, it only kills one person. It comes out of the kid's head.
At the end, it kills multiple people.
But then it doesn't kill anyone else after that. It doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
It
kills three people in this movie. Four people.
I guess it is. But they're not dead. They went to the eighth dimension.
Is that what you're taking from? I thought they were just disintegrating.
No. Didn't he zap them into the eighth dimension?
No, because the other guy jumps into the telescope. We're cutting
okay,
ahead.
Let's cut that out. Let's cut that out. but you have to cut that out.
So, like, this guy, so look, he falls back to sleep. And she wakes up. Well, the other guy, they kind of wake up. And the eyeball jumps into the air vent and escapes. The one guy thinks he sees it, but he strikes it up to being high. Right? So they just get on with that. Now, the scientist talks his assistant into just like letting things go by saying, and I wrote this down, there was a dimensional flux to the eighth dimension, a giant flux. And the guy's like, whoa, I'm in. I don't care about the corpse.
Okay. First of all, can we just talk about how does this doctor even know anything about any eighth dimension? Okay. Now, this is an eyeball experiment on, what did he say? Depth perception? Of course, he's lying to the kid. However, where did he come up with this, like, plan that he was going to infiltrate the eighth dimension?
That's what I was saying. I was like, let's find a sugar mama. And say that, look, I'm going to do experiments to dive into a comic book. I'm just going to say it can happen. I want it to happen, and I'm going to make it happen by getting a telescope and eye drops.
This movie feels like a student film.
I keep saying telescope.
I know. Well, it is a fucking telescope. It's a giant telescope. It's huge. Yeah. But like this, it feels like a student film. Now, it shouldn't be. If it was a student film, it would be acceptable because this is like someone...
No, it still wouldn't be acceptable.
I mean, it would be more acceptable than a seasoned filmmaker doing this, okay? Like, think about it. This guy has, what, 180 credits on
this? I know.
His...
If you told me this was directed by the guy who directed Powder and Jeepers Creepers, I would believe it. Like, the guy's like a pedophile.
Oh, God. Anyway, seriously, though.
I totally believe it. I believe it.
This is like a, it feels like a, so it's an hour long, but it feels like a student film, and it would be more acceptable that way.
It totally doesn't. It feels like a Skinemax late at night movie made just to have like softcore porn. It doesn't even feel like a student film because there's no filmmaking. The camera never moves. It's static all the time. It's just standing on the tripod.
It is a stationary. Yeah. There's no directing here. There's no special angles. There's nothing here.
Nothing clever.
And the only thing that I can think of is that they were just like, okay, let's just make a quick 1 hour fun little movie. But it's beyond next level terrible in every single situation. Why would you waste so many resources on something this bad? Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't even know. You're saying resources. There's not one resource. This is some cheap stuff. Some guy slapped together a paper mache eyeball, and they just flew it around, and they just had it rub on women. That's the movie. Let's talk about the treadmill sequence, because the wife is on a treadmill. The assistant's wife is on a treadmill, and the optic nerve thing, the giant eyeball, flies behind her. It's just sitting there. Now, I would feel this thing.
There's no way I would feel this thing.
It also rubs her leg while she's running on the treadmill. It's standing right next to her. By the way, can I point this out? Because this made me laugh too. When the eyeball is trying to teach itself what's happening, because it's from the eighth dimension and it's trying to figure out what's going on, it finds some diagrams of women's body parts. But my favorite part about this was it flies up to look at it, and it is like really close, and I'm going, you're a giant eyeball, man. Do you need glasses? Like, you can't see this thing? But I guess that's how he gets the idea that, oh, I need women. Right?
Right.
I don't know. So it's going after the assistant's wife. She doesn't know it's there. She gets off the treadmill, and he hides. A giant eyeball hides, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to watch her get naked, get into a shower, and then in slow mode, walking into a shower. It doesn't even make sense why they did this to her.
The director wanted to make sure that we got to see everything.
Yeah. And then, sure as hell, the giant eyeball comes into the shower, and we get, by the way, the treadmill scene alone is 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we get another 5 minute
rape scene.
The same exact scene that the woman did in bed, we see with her in the shower.
It's worse.
But it's worse because she has no blanket over her.
It's worse. Yeah. The puppeteer on this eyeball was literally, I mean, he had to have been getting some kind of like excitement without out of this doubt. Because he was almost penetrating this poor actress.
And I will say this, that the director does not seem to care because he's not shooting her in any flattering way.
No.
But he does shoot the two guys in the bed all the time with their legs open and always showing their muscles. He shows them more than anything else, which makes me think that's where his direction is.
Okay, I get what you're saying. Where did he find those two?
I don't have any information on those guys. None of these guys.
I mean...
The only guy is Beetlejuice that I've seen in anything else.
I mean, they could have found them anywhere. He could have went to the nearest gym and been like, hey, bro.
It can be two underwear models. That's what they seem like. They look like to me. But they're probably two... guys he found in the club.
He found them at the LA Fitness down the street.
So it does that to the girl, but they kind of like distracted. It keeps getting distracted. And every time it roars, it has no mouth or vocal cords, but it constantly roars and jumps back into the air vents. And I think we start finding out that the giant eyeball exists. I think the characters start figuring out because at one point, they go and they find the body because they're looking for his wife, the one wife, and she goes off. She gets mad because she wasn't pleasured by the two guys and she wasn't pleasured by her husband. And she goes and finds the Justin Bieber dead kid who now the eyeball is able to jump back into his body, used as a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
And she finds him in the attic and she instantly wants to have sex with this kid. Like with that, he is talking like a robot and she's all about it.
I'm curious to know how old this kid was during the filming of this, because he is way too young for this. This character is just a straight up hoe and she just wants to have sex with everybody in this.
Yeah. She's like, you know what? Oh, he's like, I over and over. And she's like, yeah, yeah, you don't worry. Oh, you're shy. Let me take care. And she gets like behind him. They come in, they see this. And at that moment, they flash like a flashlight on while she's trying to have sex with him. She's like rubbing all over his body and it scares the monster. And the kid drops dead again.
Yeah. The eye comes back out, doesn't it?
But then we see that the eye comes out, but we have the, I guess they're looking for the monster all over the house. The assistant, the lab, the scientist, and Beetlejuice. And the three of them are looking for the eyeball so they can get rich, like a rich scheme. And by the way, Beetlejuice has like blackmailed the scientist into saying, I won't say anything about the corpse, but I want in on it when you get famous.
Right.
So the three of them are looking for the monster to see if they can capture it so they can prove the eighth dimension exists. But they find his wife with the thing. And the body falls, and they say, that kid was dead. Oh, I think he took angel dust, and sometimes angel dust can make a body stand up. I have no idea what they're talking about here. But my favorite part is Beetlejuice goes, hey, Doc, and I wrote this one down too. Hey, Doc, what about that flying giant eyeball over there? And they're like, whoa, there's a giant eyeball right there. So they all see the giant eyeball, and they flash their flashlights on it, and it is very angry because it can't blink, so it flies off. And they're like, oh, lights bother it.
My God.
Well, he's alive.
Well, maybe he was pumped up on drugs or something like that.
That's good, drugs. That's good.
But
drugs.
He could have been. It's like angel dust or something like that.
Sure,
right?
Angel dust would do that every time.
He can pop him up with angel dust and you'd get someone who...
Whoop. Just whoop. Hey, Doc, isn't that the guy you killed and stuffed in the crate?
Listen, this is nothing I can't handle. Believe me.
Oh, hey, Doc, what about the big son of a bitch and floating eyeball thing?
What?
Wow, okay, so we found a way to get rid of this thing? Okay, super.
Yeah, but it now jumps back in to, it actually possesses, we find out that when it zaps you with its laser beam, it can do multiple things. Sometimes it can possess a person, like the assistant goes to his wife, and while she's in a bathrobe on the bed, he starts like undressing her so they can both fondle each other. So the eyeball can do the fondling again. Mm-hmm. And there's another 5-minute fondling with the eyeball and the assistant and the wife.
We have three 5-minute scenes of this.
By the way, all the lights are on in this room. It's very well lit. The eyeball doesn't seem to care. But at one point, he does shut off one flashlight.
It does. Yep.
But it still leaves all the other lights
on. And during the rapey scenes, like we have to go through... like literally 5 minutes each of these scenes where the tentacles or eyeball optic nerve is rubbing all over the nipples and zapping the nipples with like little lightning bolts. Okay. I'm like,
it's a nipple.
What is happening here? If I was his actress, I would be so freaking mortified.
Yeah. And now it finally gets the idea of the monster to jump inside of an, now we are very confused and I don't think the movie even understands it did this, but the eyeball shoots one of the Mimbos in the eye, and we see that he's possessed. But what we find out is the eyeball's inside of him now,
mm-hmm.
because we assume that it just made a second one, but it doesn't seem to be that. It just jumped inside somehow.
Yeah.
Although when it shot him, it didn't disappear. The eyeball's still standing there watching him. So he uses one of the Mimbos as like as his host. So the Mimbo walks around in his underwear and goes to the group meeting of all the people now who have seen the eyeball and says, I'm here to help. And they say, oh, go to my wife. She's sleeping in her bathrobe on the bed upstairs. Go up there with her and watch her. Make sure she's okay. Lock the door and don't let anybody in unless it's me.
Okay. Right? That makes sense.
So he sends a naked guy in his underwear up in good shape, you know, up to his sleeping naked wife.
It says, make sure you take care of her.
Yeah, make sure you take care of her. Now, it's actually the eyeball.
Yeah, because it's
who's still
in
speaking
the,
like,
yeah,
like one word things.
Yes.
Yeah. So he does go up there and start trying to molest her.
Yep.
Again, we get a whole nother sequence
I
of
just,
it.
I can't.
And when everybody runs upstairs, they're like, oh, she's fine. There's a giant eyeball flying around the building, and you know he's out there somewhere. And you should be worried about this, but no. Instead, they go, oh, my wife's fine. He's got the Mimbo with her. You know, we got the Mimbo with her. So that, but they finally figure out to go upstairs and check it out. They see the guy. They flash the flashlight on him. The giant eyeball comes out, and he drops dead. That guy. So the eyeball was in him the whole time. And it escapes again. They just let it escape.
Yeah. Like, what is your plan? So the scientist guy who obviously created this thing inadvertently, they don't even try to, like, hit it with anything or try to destroy it in any way.
Only one point they do. Yeah. The other Mimbo finds his dead friend and sees the eyeball come out of him. He yells out,
"You killed my best friend, you stupid bitch!"
"It doesn't seem to be growing very weak to me."
"Jane.
I'm okay."
"But it's not any weaker because it's got a recharge from Joe's brain matter."
"What's that mean?"
"It means your friend's brain has been sucked dry."
"Is he going to be okay?"
"He's dead, you moron."
But yeah, that guy later on does a try to punch the eyeball when he sees it again. And he's instantly shot and killed by the eyeball. He's like disintegrated. Sometimes okay, the eyeball can just disintegrate.
That's
people.
The thing. Okay, so this is the first real kill besides the, you know, a kid dying with the eyeball. So he zaps him with some sort of green, like, laser beam.
Like he did before, but now it makes people explode.
They're not exploding. That's why I think that they're like phasing out. That's why I think they're going to another dimension.
They look like they turn into a light source. That's made me think they got killed.
No, they look kind of pixelated, and it seems like they're going to a different realm. I don't think they're dead. I think they're zapping them into the eighth dimension. That's the whole point, because it makes sense for the end of the movie where we're getting to.
Well, I think maybe we should point out the fact that we're told in multiple times that the eyeball is a hermaphrodite and that it needs a woman. But they're like, if it's a hermaphrodite, can't it just have its own babies? They're like, I must need a host to give birth to its eyeballs. And that's why it's going after the women so much. And they're like, why wouldn't it go after the men?
Right.
And he's like, well, we don't know how to explain that. Like, that's
because it's a male director.
Yeah, but he seemed, yeah. I don't know. I they keep trying to explain that. But yes, that's the whole point.
It's male writers.
Yeah. They know that men want to watch women being molested. But by an eyeball? I don't know.
Say that again.
No, they're selling this to a market of people, young people at night who want to watch softcore porn.
Yes, but this is not softcore porn.
I mean, it's virtually softcore.
I mean, if you call getting molested by an optic nerve, if you call that a porn or sexy in any way, there's something wrong with you.
I agree.
We are edging towards the end of this godforsaken hour-long debacle. And the reason I'm telling you that this is the scientist, he saves the day because he actually gets taken into the eighth dimension. That's why I'm saying to you.
Okay, that's not true at all. That's not what happened.
Yes, it is.
No, the scientist actually turns on everybody and actually tries to sacrifice his wife. Says, I'll be a great husband to you. All you have to do is be the sex slave of the eyeball race, because the eyeball shared information with me mentally, telepathically, and told me that they are trying to conquer our dimension and they want to cross over. And there's a bunch of eyeballs. They all look like, he goes, wouldn't it be great if there was a bunch of these little guys flying around?
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be great. No.
So I have a big
question
here.
Just impregnating and raping all the women, yeah, that kind of thing?
I have a question. No. I have a huge question. I need this explained. Why are the eyeballs? Why is there a lot of eyeballs?
This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to try to explain this away. Just hear me out. This scientist has been working on this eye drop. This eye drop is supposed to see into that dimension.
Yes.
Right?
It has nothing to do with the monsters on the eighth dimension being eyeballs.
I feel as though because he's utilizing the eye drops and putting them into the eye, it's somehow channeling that power and making the eyeballs come to life in the eighth dimension.
But what they tell us here, and we know that's not true, is that they tell us that the this eyeball that crossed over was the first scout of the army invasion, eyeball army invasion from the eighth dimension. And when we actually get a glimpse into the eighth dimension, which is a CG nightmare of flying eyeballs, and guess what? In front of a pyramid. You get it, Joe? The seeing eye.
Oh, the seeing eye.
On the pyramid and the
yeah.
money. Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. The only reason it's an eyeball is because he put the drops and it looked into that eighth dimension. So the thing crossed over into his eyeball and is controlling the eye. They wouldn't be eyeballs. What if the sphincter saw into the eighth dimension? Like, what if they were dropping drops into your asshole and you put that on the telescope and looked into the eighth dimension? Would all of the monsters be in the eighth dimension be assholes?
I mean,
giant all the fucking asses?
Yeah, I would say that would make for a better movie, a bunch of assholes walking around, paper mache assholes.
I mean, what?
I think that would make for a better movie than this.
Three people wrote that the invasion of the eyeballs just so happened to be because this guy put drops in an eyeball. It just so happened that they're actual eye monsters.
And, well, they all three took acid. They sat around and they came up with this concept.
Why would they even want to invade? Why would you want to go to a planet? And by the way, when they show that where the eyeballs are in the eighth dimension, it's a desert. So there's sun.
They would dry out.
Exactly.
Is there any liquid tears or
the eighth
any
dimension
like
is just a desert?
What do you call that freaking eye drop Visine?
What?
They'd be just shriveled up eyeballs.
Oh my god! I just
dried
like,
eyeballs.
They
out
didn't
there.
Think about this shit at all.
Do you want to know who's thinking about this shit? We are.
Only thing
way
I
too much.
Well, here's what I want to think about too much, because all I want to do is talk about sets. Did you notice the end table in the husband and wife's house?
No, I was too busy looking at this ridiculous eyeball.
I couldn't stop looking at things like this. There is a giant speaker, like an old speaker you would have in your house, a surround sound. But like, you know, like when they first came out with surround sound in the house, but it was just a giant speaker.
Oh my God.
They put the giant speaker next to the bed and they put stuff on it like a lamp. And I was like, it's not an end table, guys. It's a giant speaker.
Oh my God.
These two don't look like the kind of people who have guitars.
No. What, it looked like an amp?
It's a giant speaker.
No. Well,
like, what would you do with that? Why would they have it?
You're questioning that.
In their
when
bedroom?
There's two guys sleeping in one queen-size bed.
If they
with
had
a
that,
vanity,
it would make sense.
But they're not supposed to be a couple, but they share this one tiny room. There's no kitchen. There's only a bathroom. And there's a vanity built into the wall for two guys. Now, I don't understand that reasoning whatsoever. But can we talk about how you think that the lab is brick? That is not brick.
You
that is
that
like
fake?
A sheet of paper. Yes,
I don't
think gone
it is.
Over the wall.
I actually think it is real brick.
No way. No way.
There's not. It's no Joe. There's no way that they faked any of the set. All they did was wheel in some stuff that they had laying around. One of the set, like laboratory equipment pieces, was a thrown out on wheels like dresser.
Did you see what they also had in that lab? You know, just because they had to make it look, you know, labby.
I was trying to stare at everything.
Did you see that they had one of those strobe light things, those colorful strobe lights that you buy at Spencer's?
And test tubes.
Yeah, you could buy one of those at Spencer's, like, you know, with the lights on it that turn. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That. Because, you know, nothing says lab like a strobe light that turns like a disco party.
Is it one of those electricity ones, the static ones you put your hands
no,
on?
No, they couldn't afford that one. That one was $59.99 at
That's
Spencer's.
True.
They couldn't afford that.
Oh
this
my God, Spencer's.
This movie literally had a budget of about $14. Most of that went to the main actress who showed her boobs. Two of them, they split it, $7 a piece. And that's your budget right there.
I guess we should just wrap this movie up and say, hey, the eyeball zaps Beetlejuice and kills him too. And they turn on a floodlight on the eyeball. And he's like, I can't, I have to leave this dimension. You've beaten me. And before he can go back into his dimension, and by the way, we don't even know how he gets there. No. Did he always have the power? The scientist says, take me with you, and jumps into the telescope and goes into the eighth dimension somehow. Although he has never taken those drops.
No, because if he had taken the drops, his eyeball would be popping out of his head. So we can't go there.
But how would he jump into the... I don't even understand. I love at one point they're like, we opened up a pocket. You mean he ripped a pocket into the eighth dimension?
What I think happened...
Through his eyeball.
What I think happened is the eyeball was beaming out, okay? Beaming out with some sort of like, you know... cosmic power, okay? And as he's beaming out of this dimension, the scientist jumps in with him.
Yeah. Let's not forget the immortal classic line in this movie. Don't look into its eye.
Okay.
Joe looks at me and goes, that's all it is a giant fucking eye. How
it's just an eye. Where are you supposed to look?
Into its eye.
It's a 7-foot eyeball. It's literally a 7-foot eyeball.
Look at its optic nerve.
Where are you supposed to look?
Look at its sausage finger.
It's sausage finger, exactly. It's like a kielbasa. Oh, it was a slimy kielbasa. And that thing was raping two women. But so the scientist gets beamed out, but the end scene of the movie is even more fucking baffling. If we sound like we're on drugs, I can promise you we're not. But the end of the movie, you see the two women at like literally simultaneously holding their bellies. They are obviously telling us that they're impregnated. Now, if there is a second movie, if there's a
sequel.
We're not doing this, okay? I don't care. Now they're going to have eyeball babies? Is that what you're telling me?
I heard that like somebody is at a party at a place in the sequel, and they accidentally open up the eighth dimension
for back to kill her. Why? At a party? Are they using like a Ouija board? Or
I have no idea.
Did they open the fridge and there's like Gozer in there?
Only me, because I love torturing myself. I said to you, we have to watch the
movie. No, I can't. Oh my God.
So can I read another line of dialogue that I just love?
Yes, please.
At one point, they're like, we have to search for it. And he knows it's a giant eye for some reason. He goes, here's a detector. And he walks into the room. And by the way, we found out that before the guy got married, he was sleeping with this guy's wife as well, this assistant.
And apparently he couldn't satisfy her either.
But she's like, I'm all about you now too. But he has a device and he goes to her, what do you know about optic nerve feedback? It's so good. He's using an optic nerve feedback detector.
I got nothing.
I was like, wait, what? But shouldn't he have a grant? I mean, honestly, shouldn't he already have a grant? He made a telescope for the
it's just the fact that this scientist guy married this chick.
Yeah, and then she has enough money to fund them. I have no idea.
Because either she's a high-priced hooker.
That's what I was saying.
Because all this woman does in this movie is
sleep around,
bitch. grope on men, bitch and complain.
She's like, when are you going to give some money?
She's like literally the worst. I mean, just out and out the worst. And you know what? I would make more sense if she was the one that revealed full frontal nudity.
Oh my God.
It would make more sense. I felt bad for the actress who had to do that.
Oh my God.
I
guess this is the question I have to ask you. Is this the worst movie we've watched yet?
Oh Jesus, it is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I don't know if this is worse than the Star Wars movie, but I feel like I would watch the Star Wars movie. But I feel like this one's easier because it's so short.
I mean...
That's all I gotta say is like, this isn't... I mean, the thing about the Star Wars special is that it's 2 hours, and this one's only like 15 minutes.
Okay, this movie, I think the Star Wars special was longer, wasn't it?
It's like 2 hours. I don't know. It feels like it's three. That movie's really tough to watch. We've seen that movie a few times.
Oh my God, you want to know something? It's 2 hours. An hour and a half.
Yeah, okay, I was going to say 240.
It literally felt like it was crazy. 4 hours. It was out of control. But anyway, this film, I mean, I got to tell you.
Yeah, we have Rocky and Bullwinkle at number two. This is way, I mean, this is, if this isn't as bad as Star Wars, I mean, I don't even know.
I mean, I don't think it's going to push Star Wars out of the number one spot.
I don't think so either, but it was close. This is the closest we've come.
This is the closest we've come to one of the worst things we've ever seen. I mean, I've never seen such a bad movie. I mean, I feel like teenagers in high school could make their very first film and do a better job than this. This is atrocious.
I was setting up a bad joke, but we're way past it now, so I can't do it.
Oh.
I mean, there's not even a question. This is a straight one.
It's a straight one. There's nothing redeeming about this. This thing, like, if we sounded like we were drunk talking about this, I wish we were.
We should have been. I'm so mad at us for not getting drunk for this.
I know. Okay. Can I just make a statement about Full Moon Features?
Oof.
They're pretty rough.
Who's worse, Troma? I don't even know.
That's a good one.
It's like a verse because I do enjoy, but I know it's not good, the Puppet Master films, like Castle Freak, Reanimator.
Well,
there's Full Moon movies that I'm like.
There's Full Moon movies that we really enjoy. Tourist
Trap.
Yes, like, we really enjoy those.
But I know it's like tough.
We have three of the puppets from Puppet Master in our house. We do enjoy that movie, that series. We do.
I wouldn't say series. There are some that we enjoy.
The franchise overall, there are some good ones in there. You know,
it's mostly because of the puppets.
Well, of course, but you know,
if it wasn't for them,
don't forget Greg Sestero. He's in it.
Oh, he's in one of them too. I know. So it was almost James Franco. I know. That's so crazy.
Which is funny. This movie's trash. I don't mean to insult the actors, but damn.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to. I'm not an actor, and I couldn't do any of that. But
I was reading about the main actress in this movie, and I was reading that, you know, she had a family. And, you know, she has a daughter and everything now, and she moved to Florida, and I think she's back to trying to get into acting, but she really desperately wanted to get out of these movies and she's like, you know, I work to get up the ladder, but I just can't get from the bottom, you know? So she kind of gave up. She had, had a family, and I read that she said to I guess in an interview, she was asked, has your daughter seen any of your movies?
Oh, my God.
And she goes, well, my daughter knows that I'm a nudist. But she says, I did show my daughter Head of the Family. And she's naked in that. And she wears a vest and she's naked in the entire movie. She just sits there on desks naked.
Oh, my God.
And she goes, my daughter was mad that I was naked so much.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah. Just hope your daughter never watches any of your other movies like this.
I mean,
it's crazy.
I don't know. I mean, so she was born in 1974. So she was young when she's doing nude modeling in 1995.
Yeah.
And when she was in like 150 magazines by 96. So she was super young doing that. And she made videos for Playboy and Penthouse and all that stuff. So she actually had work. So it wasn't like she didn't work. But good for her. But I feel bad for the other one. The other actress.
The other actress literally never worked again. She had done one other horror movie before this in 96. And that's it. That's it. The guy that plays Beetlejuice, he was in, the movies with her. I think he was in Head of the Family as well.
Oh, okay.
I recognize him because he looks like another actor.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's crazy. I don't. I mean, wow.
I don't know what else to say. I mean, just listening to my own self talk about this, I feel like I'm dizzy. It was just a big hot train wreck. It was a mess. It was just a mess. It's terrible. I don't know what else to say. And as far as like killer body parts go, I don't know. The killer eye. When you think of the title of the movie, The Killer Eye.
Yeah.
How does one begin to have a killer eye? Like what, besides what the eye did in this movie, what would a killer eye do? It's not like it has hands.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, but I will say this, though. It did have the optic nerve. It could have wrapped its optic nerve around a huge butcher knife and just start slashing motherfuckers.
I wish.
And if it did that, that would be more amazing than the shit that we got.
So we tried to look, we when we were told this theme and, well, you guys got to do killer body part movies, I was like, well, we got to do one of each kind of body part, right? So we found these ones. And, you know, I said, I know for a fact that the crawling eye, a giant crawling eyeball movie exists.
Mm-hmm.
So I know this eyeball thing is, but we literally could have done brain films because we have seen a lot of brains attack people in films. And the same thing goes, what can you do with a brain? Well, it's just like, oh, telepathy. But the eyeball is like the same thing. It's like, oh, I could just look at you. Wow.
Yeah.
It's just like Stephen King, you know, like, oh, look at this. A finger, a killer finger that flies around the room and pokes you.
Like, you know? I mean, it's funny because they did have options, you know, since this optic nerve could actually, like, molest somebody and it could do something. Like, grab an object or something and kill somebody. Like, it could have been a killer eye in a much more entertaining way.
I'm just so shocked that they went eyeball. And we're like, you know what? Eyeball, we gotta have sex with it. Like, why?
I got nothing. Let's just...
Shouldn't they have called this movie Eyeballing? They should have, right?
On that note, it has been wonderful. And I'm gonna head out.
They should have called it Eyeballing. Thanks for
tuning in.
Look, we only have Beck to blame for this debacle.
She did not pick this, okay? You, sir.
Of course. Picked this. I had to search killer body part films, and we have seen some.
Okay,
so the ones we have already seen, I was like, well, we haven't seen the killer eye yet.
Okay, well, this is on Amazon. It can be seen. Yep. Oh, seen by everybody.
With limited commercial
breaks.
It's not like Tubi, like last week.
Oh, God. This is literally 1 hour long. Now, I want everyone to see this.
No.
Because
no one should see this.
No, you know what? See it. Because I want to know what you guys... Before it sees you. Because I want to know what you guys all think of this, if you can get through it or not.
No way. Don't watch
it. It's not... You know
what? Don't listen to Joe. This is a terrible, terrible film.
It's a fun ride. Have some beer.
Just have a forward button ready to go, and you can forward through half of this crap.
Yeah.
There's nothing to see, though.
Seriously, you know what? Don't listen to me. I'm just joshing. You really need to avoid this at all costs. In fact, I think I might be on a full moon break for a bit.
Yeah, I know. And I'm a little worried about myself. I'm like, I don't think I picked another full moon movie.
You better not have. I can't do it. I need a break from this. I mean, this is just... This movie, it had literally nothing. It was just terrible.
Yeah. This was painful. And I got to say, the first two movies, I knew when I picked them and I went in order of, like, release dates.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that we started, no matter what, if you have an 80s film, you're probably going to have a good time regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't great, but we had a decent time. So, and then the second one was so insane that I can't believe the movie exists, which was last week's movies. So this week we knew we were going to start going down. Now I'm like, is it going to get worse? Because there's no way, right?
It can't get worse.
There's no way. I know the worst, the next ones are at least, look, if you're going to have a molesting movie, at least the next one is a penis movie.
Oh my God.
Right? I believe, I think the next one is the killer penis film.
Oh my God.
We'll be doing. And
if
I know.
I have to look at a schlong for an hour and a half. Like, I don't know if I'm going to get through it.
Yeah,
especially if it's Ron Jeremy.
No, he's in it. But yeah, the next one is called The One-Eyed Monster.
Oh, God damn it.
And the one after that is The Killer Rack, which is a killer boobs film. So, okay,
I'm 100% here for that because that means we're going to get a nice pair to look at least. So bring that on.
Yeah.
But the penis one, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is the little penis hole going to open up and swallow somebody?
I'm thinking it's an alien shaped like a penis. But I would say that there's, I can't imagine they're going to be worse than this film. Because I wouldn't even call this a movie.
This isn't a movie.
Yeah, this isn't. This is something that someone gives you pirated.
So yeah.
Check this stupid thing out my cousin made.
And the people on the Vegas Strip. Hey, man, check out my movie. Check out my movie.
Check out my demo tape.
Ten Bones. Check out my movie. I'm an aspiring filmmaker.
I got an eye on you. All right, so that's all we got.
That's it.
That's it.
I can't do it anymore.
We can't do it. You're not even going to read. I'm just going to point this out. There is a 1 in a 10, but my favorite, there are a lot of joke 10s, but my favorite one was someone wrote, "I caramba." And I was like, perfect.
I can't do the reviews.
Perfect.
I mean, it's a joke. This movie is just...
It's not even worth it.
No.
Because we agree with them. It's terrible.
It's next level.
There's some 4s, but there's a lot of 1s. So
yeah,
I have to agree with them. It is awful.
I just can't bring myself to read a single...
There's not one thing to like about this movie.
No, not a single thing. No.
Nothing.
Okay, on that note.
So anyways, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good one. No, seriously. Yeah, that's it.
That's it. You can find The Crafty Misfit on Instagram at The Crafty Misfit. And you could find Scotty at Just Another
Cousin,
Movie Night.
If you're the cousin who's handing this out on the Vegas Strip, we'd love to hear about it. Reach out on Instagram at The Crafty Misfit or Just Another Movie Night. Until next time, guys, have a good one. Bye.
Wait! Take me with you.
Jordan.
I guess he's boldly gone where no man has gone before.
Do you think that he's okay?
If he's into giant eyeballs, I'd say he'll make out like a bandit.
At least it's all over. I'm all for getting the hell out of here, kids.
Amen.